And let's begin our session with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for all your mercies, but particularly for the mercy of salvation which you have given us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We ask your blessing upon our consideration today, and we ask that you strengthen us in our resolve to remain ever close to you in your word. We ask this in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Probably some of the things that I'm going to talk about today, you could search out for yourself very readily and very easily. But I'd like to make particular points, that is, emphasize certain things in connection with Lutheran worship, things that perhaps you have thought of, but perhaps you might not have thought of before, which will help you and aid you in making use of the total resources that we do have in Lutheran worship. The first thing I'd like to point out to you, I feel, is a prime thing, because we need to get close to our God. And that would be on page 295. This is a daily lectionary. And I know that many people who espouse the idea of reading Scripture and reading the totality of Scripture, for instance, in 1 year, will say, well, figure it out, about 3 chapters a day will do it, and you will cover the entire Scriptures. This is fine, except that here is a daily lectionary which makes use of a little bit more than that, and has been very carefully worked out by Dr. Sauer, the first vice president of our synod, and he is responsible for this particular daily lectionary. But the importance of it, I'd like to point out from this point of view, that not only in our day, but in the days of the Apostle Paul, and even before that time, but even he certainly, guided by the Holy Spirit, recognized the fact that we are in a dangerous posture, a dangerous situation throughout our lives, because we are confronted with spiritual powers that do not always, when I say confronted by spiritual powers, I mean confronted by evil spiritual powers, and that are warring against our soul and at times do not appear as evil, perhaps even appear as angels of light. Some peoples, different countries, experience more directly the evil that lands on top of them. In the United States of America, we do not always experience that kind of situation. Therefore, we may not feel that we are in any particular danger, particularly spiritual danger. But if we read what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, this might alert us to the point of not neglecting the word itself when we think in terms of our daily devotional life. He says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, isn't it interesting that he almost makes this seem like a battle where you have to have a shield, thinking in terms of his day, a shield, and you have to have weapons, and you have to have a sword. But he's bringing this all to play as far as faith is concerned, faith which takes to itself the armor, the protection of God, and the weaponry of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, the Word. And then he mentions praying and supplication. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, which is a part of our activity, our devotional activity, to keep in mind the people that we know of that are in need of our supplications, not only ourselves, but also others. And he says, not only with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, but that's interesting how he mentions himself, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And certainly you and I, as we think in terms of our mission, that is to present the gospel, that we need these devotions. We need all this weaponry to enable us to do a better job with it. I knew of a pastor. In fact, he was my pastor for a while, who conducted Bible classes which were very well attended, very interesting classes. And he often would tell little stories and have little anecdotes to intersperse in his presentations. And of course, this was a very engaging presentation that he had. But one year, he asked his people to do something with him. That is, he was going to read the entire scriptures one year, and he was asking them to do the same thing and to keep at it, not to forget about it for a few days, because it would be difficult to catch up. And it is a most remarkable thing that his Bible classes began to improve almost dramatically, because his little anecdotes now became more of the stories of Scripture and of the people of God, because you could just tell how these things were feeding into him from his reading. And his Bible classes were becoming far richer because of all the resource he had to draw upon, because of his constant reading of the Word of God. Now, this reading of the Word, look at what it says on top of page 295. Tells us, first of all, that this outline, which is given here, is a devotional reading plan that covers the entire sacred scriptures each year. The selections are based on ancient models and are generally in harmony with the liturgical church year, that they're very apropos to the point of the church year, the point of the particular season. The average reading, 3 chapters daily, a seasonal canticle is assigned for each month and is scheduled to replace the psalm on the first and last days of the month. And all of the psalms are read twice a year. So this is the additional material to just reading 3 chapters a day. On top of it, you'll notice that he begins with what book? On December 1st, he begins with the Canticle, Luke 1, but he begins with Revelation, chapters 1 and 2. It seems like a peculiar beginning instead of Genesis, chapter 1, but with Revelation. After he finishes Revelation in the month of December, he goes to Isaiah and covers Isaiah. Then you'll notice that in January we have Mark coming into the foreground in addition to the psalm. And so if you would just look at it, the continuation of reading is not just starting at page 1 of the scripture and going through it, which is another way of doing it, but this has a more seasonal approach to it. This will enrich you if you follow this kind of reading. The second paragraph at the beginning, the lectionary is in accordance with Martin Luther's suggestions, but let the entire Psalter divided in parts remain in use, and the entire scriptures divided into lections. Let this be preserved in the ears of the church. And then also after that, another book should be selected, and so on until the entire Bible has been read through. And this is important. Where one does not understand it, pass that by and glorify God. There are two ways of going about in our search of Scripture. One is to get a general overview of it, to let it come on to you. The other is to make a thorough word study of it, exegetical study of it, to ferret out every possible ounce of meaning in the text. We need to do both. I think in terms of music and the study of music, to appreciate music, to gain a better understanding of it, one has to listen to it. Just listen to it. Attentively, but listen. Don't have to do any more. You don't have to figure out what chords are being used, what instruments are being used, but listen. As I always told my music literature classes, for true appreciation, do it. That's really all you have to do. If you want to get wet, you get under the shower. You let it go, come upon you. You let it fall upon you. You don't have to know anything about it. You don't have to the background or anything else. Just do it. This is the way I think one could go about reading the entire scriptures if one does not understand certain sections as well as one would like. That could be a separate study that a person could make a note of and then could ferret that out and do that and take care of it at some other time. I'm reminded of the difference between, let's say, just being listeners in music and being performers in music. The Norwegian pianist Eva Nardal, when she was asked how she goes about learning a new composition, especially one which isn't in the standard repertoire, how do you go about learning it? Well, she said, the first thing I do is I carefully look at every note and put it all under my fingers and figure all of the things out that I need to do technically. We call that usually woodshedding. And then, when she comments on it, she uses a phrase which someone translated for me as a meaning of, this is a bloody struggle. And I think you will recognize this if you've taken any exegetical courses, that to get all the word meaning and the thorough meaning of the text, this is a struggle, right? But then after she does all of this, she says, then I sit back and try to figure out what is the general meaning that the composer wishes me to get out of this. How does the music want to flow out of all this, which would be the meditation in scriptural reading or study, the meditation on it, to figure out the meaning for us, or the application of meaning of a particular text, but first to understand it thoroughly. Now that's one way of going about it. That's a technical way, and it's a very valid way, especially for us, because we know that in the preparation of Bible studies and the preparation of sermons, this is one way we have to do it. But we also need to get the whole thing run by us so that we get all the lessons that the Lord would have us learn in a particular day. And most of it, I think, will be extremely clear even at first reading. So this is the first thing I would like to emphasize. Because I think we cannot become, well, at ease in Zion. You know, figure that we're in Zion, we're believers and so forth. We don't have to worry about anything particularly. We happen to be in a world like, almost like in a battleground where there are many minds that we don't even know about, and we ask for the Lord's guidance through these minds, but we've got to take the map that he would have us use, which is the Word of God. You haven't take that. Now, Jeremiah, the prophet, which we happen to be reading right now in our family devotions, he was bemoaning the fact that his message wasn't being accepted. And in his conversation with the Lord, he says, "Oh Lord, you know, remember me and visit me. Take me not away in your long suffering. Know that for your sake I have suffered rebuke. Your words were found, and I did eat them. And your word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts." And as dispensers of the gospel, as those who are called by his name, we certainly want to be able to take his word and eat those words spiritually. Now, that lectionary is the first point. Then I'd like to point you to a few other things in the book. For one thing, you already know the book, I'm sure. You know that we have propers of the day, which for a particular Sunday or festival, these the one-year series, the three-year series of readings, the gradual, the intro, the collect of the day, the verse, these are all devotional resources. One could make use of them and could make use of them in connection with other formats. But these are there. Most of the introits will be taken from the Psalms and also a few from other portions of Scripture. And the new introits in Lutheran worship are much meatier than the introits found in the Lutheran hymnal. They're longer. They provide us with a little more exposition of Scripture, of psalmody or other portions of Scripture. The collects themselves have been, in some cases, lengthened considerably from what they were in the Lutheran hymnal. And these collects are certainly apropos to virtually any day or at least one day of the week that the collect for that particular week could be read, could be used for devotion. But as I say, in connection with some other format might be a good idea. Also, in that connection, I'd like to point you to page 124 and following, where you find a number of petitions, intercessions, and thanksgivings. What we have here, except for a few additions, we also have in the minister's desk edition, or what is commonly called altar book. But there are topics listed. We have used a number of them in chapel for particular occasions. But look at a few of these topics, like on page 125. For the right worship of God, for divine protection, for divine guidance and assistance, for grace to use our gifts, for likeness to Christ, for steadfast faith. Now, topically, one could find a particular prayer which might be the prayer you might want to use in a formal way. Ex corde prayers are excellent, and certainly are not to be despised. In fact, even the groanings of the Spirit when we don't know what we ought to pray for, that these prayers are helped along by the Holy Spirit himself, who prays for us. We know that. But these are helpful, like after worship or before reception of Holy Communion, for peace, for an answer to prayer. There are times when people become emotionally so involved in a particular problem that they find it difficult to word the things they need to word, or even to find in Scripture the things they need to find in Scripture. And just paging through Scripture and putting your finger on a particular passage is not always going to give you the passage that you need. You don't use Scripture as a lottery. It reminds me of that little story about this person who always tried to find his thought for the day from Scripture. So in the morning he would open Scripture, put his finger down and read. And what he read that particular day was, "And Judas went out and hanged himself." And he thought, well, that isn't so good, so he tried it once more. The second thing that he found was, "Go and do thou likewise." So he changed it and thought, we'll try it once more, because after all, the third time is a charm. His third passage was, "That thou doest, do quickly." And I think he went back to bed, because you don't use Scripture in that particular way, as a kind of lottery, or with hoping that by guess and by gosh you can find just the things that you need. We need to dig a little bit for these things, and we need to find the words that will best express the thoughts that are in our hearts. So all of these petitions are there for help. Maybe sometimes this requires a little bit of preparation on our part for the devotion. Like you usually look at a map before you start a journey. Well, before you have your own devotion, you look at what you feel is the point that you'd like to be mentioning in your prayers that particular day, unless you, of course, wish to pray from your heart, ex corde prayer of your own improvisation. Morning prayer, page 236 and following. Matins and vespers, of course, may always be used in spoken form, and I'm really speaking about spoken form, where you, let's say, you would be around a table with either your family or you yourself in your study would be having a devotion. Notice what it says at the top of page 236. It says, "A simplified form of morning prayer suitable for family or small group devotion is indicated by the small circle." So this abbreviates the order of service itself. So where you see the very first versicle, the circle, "O Lord, open my lips." And if you have more than one, some can take, the rest of the people could take the responses of the congregation. "My mouth shall declare your praise." And you have the Gloria Patri, the Alleluia, which is omitted during Lent, but otherwise given. And then you'll notice that the very next page does not have any circles on it, but that you have on page 239 a circle at number 2. It says, "Additional psalms may be sung or said, each concluding with the Gloria Patri, and silence for meditation may follow." Now, there are a number of psalms, not the totality of psalms, in Lutheran worship. In the altar book, you have all of the psalms given. But here, you may choose particular psalms. In fact, psalms for daily prayer, if you look, hold your hand in that particular place, but if you look at page 292, in case you're wondering what kind of psalm might be appropriate in a general sense, psalms for daily prayer, for matins and Sunday, and matins and morning prayer, Sundays and festivals, the number of psalms are listed. For other days, the number of psalms are listed there. And then vespers and evening prayer, you have again the same situation. Then for Compline, that is prayer at the close of day, you have Sundays and festivals and other days. Certainly this does not limit you, but the suggestions are there, and the suggestions are there easily available to you. One or two readings follow. Number four, these could be in connection with your daily Bible reading. This is would be the place for that. And then when you would conclude that, you could verbalize or say, the blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, the gospel canticle, which could be used there. And then under the collect for the day, page 242, and there could be certainly other prayers, but you have this particular prayer, O Lord, almighty and everlasting God, you have brought us in safety to this new day. Preserve us with your mighty power that we may not fall into sin nor be overcome in adversity. And in all we do, direct us to the fulfilling of your purpose through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Then follows the Lord's Prayer and the benediction which is given. Okay, on page 243. Now, that could be used in the evening. You could go to evening prayer and do the very same thing there, because the little sections that are circled, this would abbreviate the service for you. And you could do this orally rather, in other words, speaking rather than singing. But if there were a piano available or an organ available and you wanted to do more than the speaking, or if you could sing a cappella, fine. Some of these things could be done. But I'm talking about, even in your case, for individual devotion, a reading through without reading out loud, but a reading through of these things. These are very, very helpful services, morning prayer and evening prayer. There's also another one on page 263. Prayer at the close of day, Compline. I don't think we seldom have had this prayer, this particular service, seldom used it. Our morning chapels would not make use of prayer at the close of day. Certainly could be used. Notice the emphasis as it begins. The Lord Almighty grant us a quiet night and peace at the last. Amen. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praise to your name, O Most High, to herald your love in the morning, your truth at the close of the day. Then it mentions a hymn appropriate for a night service. Let me digress just a moment in connection with hymns. We have some magnificent text, hymn text, in Lutheran worship, which in my own experience, in my own life, I have found to be very helpful and comforting when there have been difficult situations. I've gravitated to a few of them, particularly when the going has gotten rather tough. And these hymns have been a great comfort to me. They refresh my soul, because the hymns I'm talking about are hymns that are truly packed solid with scripture. For instance, number 406, in you, Lord, I have put my trust, this hymn that we use for our Lenten Vespers. When difficult days come, one can just sit there and groan. This is true. You can always groan, you could start crying, you could do a lot of things. But the thing that's going to give you comfort and hope and strength is when you go to texts, scripture. That, for instance, this one is metrical psalm. So when you go to this particular text and you make the prayer of this psalm your prayer, you'll find a great help that is given you, in your heart, the strength, the courage, all of these things. And the teaching, the guidance of your thoughts from the subjective to the only person, to the only source for all your help and comfort and good, and that is the Lord. You say, in you, Lord, I have put my trust. Leave me not helpless in the dust. Let me not be confounded. Let in your word my faith, O Lord, be always firmly grounded. Listen, Lord, most graciously, and hear my cry, my prayer, my plea. Make haste for my protection, for woes and fears surround me here. Help me in my affliction. That third stanza is a powerful stanza. You are my strength, my shield, my rock, my fortress that withstands each shock, my help, my life, my tower, my battle sword, Almighty Lord. What can resist your power? Now I dare you as children of God to go through the words of that particular stanza and then begin to be just maudlin in your own thinking of yourself. Doesn't that strengthen you to know what the Lord offers you in place of your own fears, in place of your own groveling, in place of all of these difficulties which you might have? How he is the strength, he is the shield. You think of the Lord who has created heaven and earth, the Lord who has provided redemption and who has been the one who motivates you to come to faith, to bring you to faith, to keep you in faith, and then to put your thoughts upward rather than inward to yourself, rather toward God. This is the value of these hymns, or if you would suffer God to guide you and so forth. There are many hymns that can be of great help when difficult times come, but there are also many other times when our hymns of praise and thankfulness, praise God from whom all blessings flow, where these should just well up in our spirit. So we can make use of our hymns devotionally, we can talk them through, we can even sing them through and play them through if the ability is there, but still we can make use of them regardless. We're back at Compline. Pardon me. Let us confess our sin, it says on page 264, in the presence of God and of one another. You certainly don't have to make that statement if you're all by yourself. You can address the Lord, holy and gracious God, the column on the left, confess your sins, and then receive the comfort of this assurance of God's redemption in Christ and his forgiveness. It even provides you, after that particular confession, it provides you with a few brief passages from Scripture, any one of which could be used, or the whole group could be used. And then you could even make use of the responsory following that, and the final versicles and responses on page 266, and then notice your choice of prayers again. These prayers have to do with the evening time. I don't think we turn to some of these too often because we think in terms of other formats. But we could make use of our hymnal more than we do. We could have, like the third prayer down, visit our dwelling, O Lord, and drive from it all the snares of the enemy. Let your holy angels dwell with us to preserve us in peace, and let your blessing be on us always, through Jesus Christ our Lord. These prayers are very carefully worked out, very carefully thought out. And if you read them, what you can gain from them immeasurably, though you can certainly speak your own prayers from the bottom of your heart. If you continue with this service, you will see the Lord's Prayer and the Gospel Canticle. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guide us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. These are beautiful texts that are provided. The next portion, if you have any questions about anything, be sure to ask. Otherwise, I'm just moving through it because there are quite a few things. I want to be sure to point them all out. Responsive Prayer 1 and Responsive Prayer 2, page 270 and following. We've used Responsive Prayer 1 so often in chapel, some of you may even be able to do this by memory, or at least good portions of it. But it has some very important features. For individual devotion, for one thing, you address the gracious Father. Okay. You ask him to hear you. You say the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father. The Creed, your confession of faith in him. And then the psalm versicles that are given, which you can certainly say or read silently yourself. As far as collect is concerned, you have all these prayers from prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks, collects for the day, from various sources here, or your very own. But the nice thing here, too, is that you have on top of page 272 the evening, morning prayer, the new version. Some of you probably learned the old version in the catechism, but here's the new or updated language version in this particular place. If you know the other version, you can say it by heart. It's fine to use, but it's a beautiful prayer. It's the one Martin Luther suggested for devotions, your own and your family devotions in the morning. And then let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord Almighty, order our days and our deeds in his peace. Certainly a beautiful devotion to begin a day with. That is why it has become very popular. We had, in Lutheran worship, we had four responsive prayers that we wanted to have. And then towards the end, before publication, the publishing company would keep coming back to us and say, you're going to have to get rid of 10 more pages. You're going to have to get rid of, so forth. We had to eliminate 80 hymns, then 20 more hymns, and then 10 double introits, and then two of the responsive prayers. So all we have now are two. And I wish, frankly, especially for our chapel services here, that we had more than the two we have. But the two we have serve very, very well. And particularly since you can have various propers for these responsive prayers, you can have other prayers which will fit into that particular moment. Responsive Prayer 2 is geared more towards the afternoon and evening, though it may be used in the morning also. But notice, the prayers that are given at the end are for noontime prayer and afternoon prayer. This is on page 274 and following. An evening prayer or before travel. We sometimes have used Responsive Prayer 2 on the last day of classes before vacation or break, and then the prayer before travel has been used. Any questions about the responsive prayers? Then the bidding prayer. I don't suppose any of us ever thought that the bidding prayer is something that we'd want to make use of as a resource for our own private devotion. But bidding prayer is just that. We first of all state what we want to pray for, and then the prayer is given. Now, there are various topics here and covering a multitude of things. We wouldn't have to use them all, but if you say, like, Let's skip down in the middle of that first page. Let us pray for all the ministers of the word and for all the people of God. Then the prayer follows. Or look at the next page, about a third of the way down. Let us pray our Lord God Almighty that he would deliver the world from disease, ward off famine, set free those in bondage, grant health to the sick, and a safe journey to all who travel. Then the prayer follows. So we have good topical introduction with the prayer following. These can be taken out of here, made use of individually. Again, a little bit of preparation would be helpful, especially if you have a family devotion. But even for yourself, you don't want to just wander blindly into some of these things. The next thing I thought I would point you to, although a litany such as we have, a deeply devotional liturgical prayer, which is what a litany is, and a litany differs from the suffrages or the responsive prayers, which could also be termed suffrages, in this, that the responses of the congregation are always very brief responses, like, have mercy, help us, good Lord. Good Lord, deliver us. We implore you to hear us, good Lord. And then all sorts of topics are covered in a prayerful way. Now, portions of that could be used, or the entire litany could be used if one so desired. Or if you felt that this is not particularly what one would want. Sometimes I think that in our lives, certain things come up where we become confused. That is, we don't really know what we want. We don't know what we want to sit down and pray for. We don't know what we want to come to our God with, because things are in a muddle for us. A prayer like a litany is a very beautiful thing to work with, because this begins to cover so many things where we can latch on, grab hold as the prayer goes on. Or even that we begin to think of the needs of others, which is often an important part of our devotional life, which is neglected, because too often we only think of ourselves, and we don't think of the great good we can do for other people by presenting their difficulties to the Lord in prayer and asking for his help for them. I've mentioned this in my worship class, that I was brought up in a neighborhood that was kind of it was okay if you knew the right people. But sometimes some of us who weren't built so brawnily would be a little bit cowed by some of those who threw their stuff around and sort of bullied the rest of us. It was kind of a rough neighborhood. But my parents, they lived there, and of course I lived there too. And one thing that we discovered after my mother died, we just happened to be looking into her Bible, and we saw a prayer list there for a number of people in the neighborhood. I remember one of them on the prayer list was a man every Saturday night would come singing down the street at the top of his voice and staggering home. And there were many others with similar problems in the area, but she had them all on her prayer list. And within 5 years after she died, every single one of those members, or every single one of those people that she had on the prayer list, became members of our little mission church in the neighborhood. And I think what a great service she did for the souls of these people, that she remembered them in her prayers to the Lord. And our private devotional life should be this kind of thing, that we remember the needs of others, that where we have contact with people, we may not think too much of them at the time. And we may say, boy, they have a terrible attitude. They're doing the wrong thing. But they need our prayers. They need our supplication to the Lord. That's a part of the work of a pastor. That's a part of the work of laymen, too, that they do these things for people. And so we need to remember all of these people in our prayers. Just a couple more things, like the propers for morning prayer and evening prayer on page 288 and following. If a person in devotions wants to be very seasonal and liturgical, that as you go into morning prayer or evening prayer, certain specific or seasonal invitatories can be substituted for the ones that are found there. Even gives us the O antiphons for Advent. All of these are provided there. And notice seasonally Christmas and Epiphany, and Lent, Holy Week, Easter, so forth. So these are possibilities. I had already mentioned Psalms for Daily Prayer on page 292. Page 293, we get to one of the points that we're here to talk about today, daily devotion for family or individual use. Notice how simple this little service is. Invocation, a psalm, and certain psalms are listed, and scripture reading directions are given, possible propers for the day or whatever format you are following. After the reading, thanks be to God, and then the prayers, which could dwell on any of the following. You notice how reflection on this word of God, that could be your basis for prayer. Also, the prayer that grows out of this word of God, the collect of the day from the church year, or prayers for the particular day, morning prayer, evening prayer, Lord's Prayer, and then a very simple benediction at the end. You notice the asterisk from prayers for the particular day. If one were to use this format for a series of times, you notice what this does to provide variety, this kind of weekly rhythm. On Sunday, we pray for God's gifts to us through word and we pray about God's gifts to us through word and sacrament. On Monday, our baptism, calling, and daily work. Tuesday, facing meditation and thought, certain portions of it. There's one other place, one other thing, that I think would be very valuable where you feel the need to closet yourself with the Lord and to clear out the difficulties in your life, particularly if they've been caused by your own lapses, your falling into this or that transgression and needing the assurance of the Lord's forgiveness. And that would be the rite on page 310, which is really a very good pastoral counseling rite, but could also be used, with a few minor modifications, for your own individual devotion, confession to the Lord. You don't have to use, for instance, "Dear Pastor, hear my confession," but you could begin in the name of God, to whom all hearts are open, from whom no secrets are hid, and then the psalmody that is given, and then the confession that is provided, which is certainly the confession that any penitent could make And the last sentence in that, what troubles me particularly is that, and then the particular sins or sins which have been troubling that person could be mentioned. Then would one could continue with Psalm 51, and then the confession of sin as found in Divine Service 1. And then one could... you said, can I absolve myself? Well, you certainly could bring to bear at this point the fact that Christ did win forgiveness for you by his passion, death, and resurrection, and that you thank the Lord for that forgiveness, which is yours, because here was the Lamb of God who does take away the sin of the world, including your own. And then the psalmody that's given, sing to the Lord. You wouldn't have to even think in terms of number 8. But the choice of wording, the choice of psalmody, would be a very beautiful thing and very helpful, especially in times of distress and sorrow over sins that have come into your life. Page 313 and following provide you, of course, with selected psalms. And like I say, the altar book even provides more. One other thing about one of the indexes, there's a topical index of hymns and spiritual songs, so that if you think, this is on page 978 and following, so if you think of going to a hymn, to read a hymn through, or even to sing it through, you have certain adoration hymns, you have Advent, you have Easter, you have Christian education, Epiphany, faith, family, fellowship, forgiveness, healing, hope, big, big section on hope, and thank God for that. Inner life, invocation, beginning of service, beginning of that invocation, maybe not, but justification hymns, kingdom of God, last things, the Christian life, life everlasting. You have any number of hymns that a person could go to, and this index, topical index, could be a help to you and guide you in that particular way. There's a great amount of help and resource in Lutheran worship. And I hope what we've briefly looked at here will inspire you to look even further and make use of it. It's very beautifully done. If you have any questions about it or anything, any comments, any discussion in regard to it, certainly we would have a few minutes.
Other Lutheran Heritage resource materials besides this, if we so choose? Is there a place where we can find those other responses for other liturgical orders?
You could, there are a couple more responsive prayers, I believe, in LBW, which we modeled after, and these responsive prayers, which the Lutheran hymnal calls suffrages. I think responsive prayer makes them more inviting, the title. Suffrages, people don't want to suffer anymore. They don't quite understand the term. And I have copies of responsive prayer 3 and 4, and I've used responsive prayer 3 in chapel at one time. when we can print out a service, we can do that kind of thing. I think one of the beautiful things about gathering some of these chapel programs, like the service we had this morning, are the dialogues that are written by some of the professors, like Professor Schmelder this morning in the Easter sentences at the beginning of the service, powerful sentences, and put them in your file, take them along. We don't use them afterwards, so take them along and put them in your file. You can make use of them for your own ministry later on. Anything else? That's a little bit of a sore point with the Commission on Worship, because we have requested this kind of thing from CPH, and I think CPH has figured there wouldn't be enough demand for it. But frankly, I think like at confirmation times, like we used to have with the Lutheran hymnal, the smaller version, and in the Lutheran hymnal, the smaller version used to be just a word edition, I think. Or at least in the hymnal prior to the Lutheran hymnal. That's what they had. But Yeah, in fact, I have a couple of copies, the word edition only, of the 1913 hymnal. It's a very handy book to stick in your pocket, and I guess the ladies could stick it in their purses. You want to just carry it with you, and you don't have anything other to do, and you wish to do this reading, you don't have to take along a heavy volume to do this. I think this would be advisable. In fact, I think if publishing house would not necessarily reduce it like to almost to half size or like the Lutheran Book of Worship, but even a little bit smaller than this, reduce the print and have the entire edition available in very fine paper to eliminate the need for the bulk which this has. I think it'd be tremendous. We're working on it, but we don't do the publishing, so the publishing house has to either get enough requests or make that decision themselves.
We should write letters.
Yeah, write letters.
One thing you already alluded to, and which I found it useful for last year, is used for pastoral calling. In a hospital and in home visits, we performed in here the evening prayer particularly.
Yeah, that is very true. That would be very valuable for pastors particularly, that they could carry it with them more easily. This is why the pocket agenda is going to come out soon, or what we call Lutheran Worship Little Agenda. That's going to be of such a size that you'd be able to put it in your inside coat pocket or in your side pocket, carry it with you, which will have the rites for the visitation of the sick, commendation of the dying, and various things, that various rites that could occur away from the church. These all are like visiting home for the aged and that kind of thing, little services. You don't have to carry a big book around for it. Like the agenda itself is almost not quite as thick, but it's about this size. But the little agenda will be very, very helpful to pastors, and that'll be coming out the end of this summer or before.
What's the status, present status on the simplified accompaniment version?
I'm working on it.
and also the handbook.
The handbook they're working on, it. They have made use of their modern technology, the Wang machine, and so forth, and they're feeding information constantly developing it. So the idea of a new handbook is in the works also. What do you call it? A word processing of
concordance.
Concordance, yeah. Okay. Concordance is being worked on in connection with the hymnal and various other items. Okay. All right? Okay, thank you very much. Yeah.